You're listening to 91.5 WFO in Medford. That was a song that I did not choose. You're listening to the Astro Hour. My name is Zach Going. I don't know what mic that is. Oh, oh.
Exactly.
Oh, get a different one. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are going to play a song. This is the Astro Hour, the show where we don't have a tagline, do we?
No.
Wait. I can't hear okay, me no. Yeah, hold on. There we go.
Hello. Hello.
There Hi. We go. This is Chris, co-host, reoccurring guest.
I pulled a microphone over and someone had unscrewed it. So
yeah, we're gonna re-screw that.
Yes, we.
That's the goal Zach for today.
Jack said, "All right, get ready. We're gonna go." And I had not sorted anything out for myself, so
yes.
Mistakes were made.
Yes.
Mistakes okay. were made, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. We're going to get rid of the playlist from last week. It's gone, friends. It's gone.
2 weeks ago.
And now, 2 weeks ago, last show, the last one. Uh-huh. And we're going to play a song that was definitely on there. Why we figure some stuff out. In the meantime, you're listening to 915 WFMU in Medford. This has been the Astro Hour, and this is one of the best songs ever.
Oh, yeah. Everything gonna be all right this morning. Oh, yeah. At the age of five, my mother South gonna be the greatest man alive. But now I'm a man, way past 21. I want you to believe me, baby. I have lots of fun. I'm a man. Well, hey.
And we're back.
What up, what up?
That was Manish Boy by Muddy Waters. Great song.
Yep.
Song that I play, that I played twice now in 2 weeks. And then Soul Man by Sam and Dave.
Chris, all of our technical difficulties have been fixed.
Yeah.
We are in good shape.
The problems are fixed.
Everything is fine. Nothing is ruined.
Yes. Which is apparently a quote from Homestar Runner.
I've
never watched Homestar Runner.
You never did?
No. I wasn't like a very...
True. They hit their like peak in 2003. How old are you in 2003?
6.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah, not a fun thing. How you been, Chris? What's your shirt mean?
So this is a shirt from the band The Wonder Years.
Okay, I've stopped caring.
You were the worst, you know that?
I just don't like the band that much.
Have you heard anything from them recently? Or are you going off of their, like, 2006, 2009 years? When they're
definitely
like,
not 2006 to 2009. I'm talking when, like, people in high school liked them. When I was in high school, which... granted, was not that long ago. It was like 4 years ago.
I think they're very good. They've musically, like, this last album, mm-hmm. which is called Sister Cities, hence why my shirt, Bad Radio, says the word Sister Cities and has a bunch of coordinates.
What are those coordinates? What
I do looked they mean? It up. It's the University of Chile. Like, Santiago, Chile.
Okay.
University of Santiago.
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that is Santiago, Chile a sister city of...
They're from Philadelphia.
They're from... Is it?
No, but it's... So they have this whole backstory of the album where, like, it was written over the course of 15 months of traveling and touring and going to, like, Kyoto, Japan and all throughout the United States and through South America and stuff, and Chile was one of the spots. So it was really cool.
Yeah. I'm Googling Philadelphia sister cities. For those of you interested, Tel Aviv, although granted, I think Tel Aviv is like a sister city with like every American city. that's true. Boston is sister cities with Tel Aviv. Mm. Philadelphia, Abruzzo, Italy.
Oh.
Some unpronounceable French towns. Makes sense. Florence.
Abruzzo, Italy. I think that's where Bruno Sammartino is from. R.I.P.
Great.
Bruno Sammartino?
I don't know who Bruno Sammartino is.
Former professional wrestler.
Oh.
Longest reigning WWF champion in history at 8 years.
What's the difference between the WWE and the WWF? Was it a stunt?
The WWE was what they changed their name to in like 2002, 2003.
Okay.
Because they were sued by the World Wildlife Foundation. And so there's actually a couple funny caricatures. So you know the World Wildlife Foundation's the two pandas?
Mm-hmm.
There's one of them hitting the other with a steel chair.
I love it.
And they ran a... WWE, when they changed it, ran a campaign called Get the F Out, saying, get the F out of the name, it's WWE now.
Yeah.
Which is funny enough.
That's fabulous.
It used to stand for World Wrestling Federation, now World Wrestling Entertainment.
Oh, I was going to say Enterprises?
Entertainment.
Like,
because they don't call it wrestling anymore, it's sports entertainment. There's a whole...
No, listen, that's fair. No, I totally get that.
There's a whole, like, underworld to it. Not underworld, like creepy weird, but, like, Vince McMahon, the guy who runs it, is one of the most interesting figures in, like, history of, like, sports and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there should be a biopic about him, but it'll never be 100% accurate.
Well, I mean, it's so confusing, right? Because you've got all the... It's... If you create a false narrative about yourself, right? Like, if you create a character and that character is your persona, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it has your same name, it's very hard to separate the two, right? Like, Colbert is a weird one, right? Because his character was so obviously satire that like, everyone kind of knew that there were two Stephen Colberts.
Yeah.
But who am I trying to think of? Like, I'm thinking of like someone who couldn't separate themselves from the media narrative about them.
Are you just talking in general, or
yeah, in general, like people who people who kind of created a character that they had to play for, like, the public eye, like, celebrities and stuff, like, do this all the time, but I'm trying to think of, like, a really good example. Hmm. But, like, Vince McMahon is, like, a great one, where there's, like, the character.
Mr. McMahon, the evil, like, villain who wanted nothing more than to cause trouble for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, whose daughter gets kidnapped by Triple H, right?
Whose daughter gets kidnapped, drugged, and married.
And married to Triple H. Like,
and she was, like, totally evil the whole time.
Yeah, and it's, like, where, like, obviously that is a fake character, right? But, like, the question is, where do you draw the line, right?
Yeah, where does the character...
Where does the character stop and the person begin?
Well, the funny thing is, they have a whole, like, in pro wrestling, there's a whole thing about, like, the best characters are your personality turned up to 11.
Yeah.
Like, there's a guy, there used to be a guy, he, under some circumstances that we shouldn't get on air, who used to be in there, his name was Enzo Amore. He was, like, okay. This really, yeah. Like, Jersey Shore.
Racist name, yeah, cool, continue.
Well, he was, like, this really, like, Guido-like Jersey
Enzo
Shore.
Amore. I can say this, I'm Italian. Continue.
Yeah. He was, like, this really, like, stereotypical, like, Jersey kid, like, he
yeah, yeah.
His hair, like, dyed leopard print. Mm-hmm. He was like, he called himself the Smack Talker Skywalker.
Yeah.
Just like this, he was a certified G, a bona fide stud. Like, those were his nicknames. Okay. But, like, in real life, he's like this trash Jersey Shore kid.
Yeah.
So it's just his personality.
So it's self, it's like self parody.
Oh, yeah. That's why, that's why Stone Cold is
what's
the best.
What's your wrestling persona then, Chris?
Mine?
Yeah, what is it?
I have no persona. My personality is non-existent.
No. Come on. If you were enlisted by the WWE
I think it'd be funnier,
today.
I think it'd be funnier for you to tell me what my persona would be.
Hmm. I mean, I'm trying to think of what to play up, right? And I'm debating whether or not to play up, like, emo, right? And not like emo, but, you know, like...
Like the pop punk.
Like sad emo. Boy, right?
The guy who listens to The Cure.
Yeah. Or, I don't know how well that would make a wrestling persona, but...
I mean, they had one of their most popular wrestlers recently. I can't believe we're talking about wrestling on the radio, but it's fine.
I don't watch wrestling, by the way. I'm just fascinated by it as a concept.
There was a guy who a couple years ago was just... His name was CM Punk.
Yeah.
He's from Chicago. He's a straight edge, mm-hmm. Listens to punk rock. He's friends with the guys from Rancid. He's really interested in that scene. And that was his persona. His character was straight edge. Mm-hmm. And, like, depending on whether he was playing a good guy or a bad guy, they'd change things about him. If he was the good guy, he was just, like, you know, out there taking names, going to fight anybody. But if he's the bad guy, he really plays up the straight edge thing. Like, the straight edge means I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. And, like, he at one point had, like, this cult following. And, like, they made his character a cult leader of this thing called the Straight Edge Society, where he had wrestlers conforming to straight edge and they'd shave their heads. Like, it was one of the, like, weirdest...
That's awesome.
It's one of the best. That's the best part of it, is the storytelling aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, it is true that wrestling is not an athletic competition. Wrestling is a show.
Not an athletic competition in the normal sense. There's certainly an athletic component to it.
Did you ever go to the Boom Boom Huck Jam?
I don't know what those words mean, so no.
It was Tony Hawk's traveling, like, we're going to get together a bunch of, like, X Games stars, so, and they're, like, just going to do tricks.
So, like, the Nitro Circus?
Yeah, kind of. Only, like, it was all, like, skateboarding and, like, BMX and...
Like the Mountain Dew Tour.
Like, rollerblades.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it was sponsored by Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk was in it. A bunch of other, like...
Did you go to the
time,
Boom Boom?
All the time. I went, like, three times, I think. I never learned how to skateboard. I have a skateboard. I'm very bad at it.
you and me both.
So. But, yeah, so... But that's kind of how I think of wrestling, right? It's, like, a bunch of guys that, like... That could... actually compete in these events and, like, did, like, it'd be people like,
I mean,
Andy McDonald and, like,
people,
Tony Hawk, right? Like, people that could actually do well in, like, the big competitions.
There are legitimate, like, strong men in like, people who've competed in, like, the Arnold Classic or bodybuilding competitions, like, people who are genuinely, like, athletic people. Like, they boasted a guy, Mark Henry, whose nickname was the world's strongest man, and it wasn't just, like, a fake nickname. He set powerlifting records.
Like, that's how I think of wrestling, is it's not a competition, it is a stunt show.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that's 100% what it is. It's is, like, cool and impressive and athletic in its own right.
It's choreographed in the same way, like, Cirque du Soleil is choreographed.
Yeah.
It's feats of, like, athleticism and strength and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But for performance, and as opposed to for competition. Also, which, like, honestly, I kind of like more.
Yeah. Also, like, giant daredevil stunts, like, oh, let's jump off of this, like, a metal cage onto this table and see if I'll survive.
Yeah.
Now, like, obviously, it's a gimmicked table and there's padding.
Yeah, or I'm going to do a backflip off a ladder onto somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Hopefully they catch me.
Can't wait to see it. Like, sounds cool. And meanwhile, you've got this, like, interesting narrative going on. My mom texted me Pee Wee Herman, which I'm assuming it means...
That's the character who someone, got way too involved.
Yeah, someone you cannot separate from their... Yeah, persona.
Paul Rubens is no longer existent. He's just Pee Wee Herman.
I would definitely say that is very intentional, given the controversy Paul Rubens kind of fell into in the early is that early 2000s,
right? 90s,
or he's like it was late 90s.
It was like mid 90s.
Were we talking about the same thing?
Where the
movie theater.
I thought it was the late 90s, but let me Google this.
The late 90s, early 2000s, fine, whatever. And granted, it's probably been a long time, which is why we kind of forgive him.
Yeah.
But also because, like, you don't hear about Paul Rubens anymore, you only hear about Pee Wee Herman. And also, he's kind of disappeared, right? Like, what did he have? He had that Broadway show and he had that Netflix show, and he's just kind of like...
It was July 1991.
What?
Yep.
That's crazy. Wow, that is 27 years ago.
Yeah, he did a PSA about drugs, like, afterward.
If he had a
part of his, like, what's the punishment? His punishment was like,
hey,
like,
kids, don't do drugs.
Well, no, it's one of the
I can't do the voice.
It's one of the weirdest things, because he wasn't Paul Rubens. He was Pee Wee Herman. He was dressed in his Pee Wee outfit.
The magic screen.
He has a little vial. He's like, this is crack. Rock cocaine. It is not glamorous. It is not cool, and it's not a joke. It is the. We can put it on our Twitter
Mecca
page.
Mecca Lecca High, Mecca Heiny Ho.
We can put it on the Twitter page at the Astro
Hour.
I'm going to share that. I'm going to share that PSA with Pee Wee Herman.
Here's some music.
Getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore. I am sorry. Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud. I am lonely. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other. Babe, have mercy. Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. I am not dreaming. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. Yourself away from me now. You are free. And I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do. That's forever. Yes, and for always. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret. Are you still listening? Fear is the lock and laughter the key to your heart. And I love you. I am yours.
are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard, and you make it hard.
Be my lady.
And we're back. Wait. Oh, come on. Oh, never mind. Okay, we were gonna plan. I didn't have my headphones in, so I was like, oh, when the music didn't start, and then we're like, oh wait. Okay, that joke fell flat on its face.
Dead air.
Let's start this once more and
increasing domestic productivity.
Yeah.
Firearm safety PSA. Yeah. No matter how you feel about the current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. And Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what's beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford. Tufts Educational Radio.
Pretty important, pretty important. So
Rule 0?
Numero uno. Like, I want to, like, very important, very serious PSA, like, cool.
Yeah.
But also reminds me of the thing that Power Rangers would do all the time, which is they would say the word destroy, or the villains would always say, I need to destroy the Power Rangers, because it's, like, more of a kid-friendly way of saying kill.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, ooh, don't point your gun at anything you don't want to destroy. It's like, well, let's be fair. I mean, that's true, right? Because you could be pointing it at, like, your TV or something. And, like, yeah that sucks if you accidentally shoot your TV. But, like, really, like, what you're talking about is,
like... Elvis used to.
Yeah. Like, what you're really talking about is, like, if someone breaks into your house, don't point your gun at them unless you're, like, willing to kill them.
Mm.
Like, is really what that means. Or, like, if you're a SWAT team officer and, like... You're like, I don't know, coming in because you got an anonymous call, and then like don't just start pointing your gun at everybody.
Yeah,
unless you're willing to kill them.
Yeah,
you know, because maybe, I don't know, that might be like a 12-year-old boy who was like playing like video games on Twitch, and someone thought it would be a funny idea to call the SWAT team on him. I don't know.
Zach.
It's not like that happens. Yeah, all the time.
Not at all.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Also, Rule 0.
Rule 0. Well, it's because it's super important.
Yeah.
There's the zeroth law of thermodynamics, which is... I forget what the zeroth law of thermodynamics is.
Nerd!
I'm in a class. Zeroth law of thermodynamics. It has a Wikipedia page. The zeroth law of thermodynamics states the two thermodynamic systems are each in thermal equilibrium with a third, then they are in thermal equilibrium with each other. Okay, so that's if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C.
Dear readers, I'm sorry you had to
dear
send me that.
Readers. Wizard people, dear readers. Chris's wrestling persona, we never answered this. We were thinking about aspects of Chris's personality that could be amplified into a wrestling persona. And I think the emo one is a good one, right? The sad boy one is good. And also is probably your more predominant feature. That being said, the teacher part of you also could probably make a very interesting character.
There have been plenty of teacher characters.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had, there's actually a wrestler named Matt Stryker who was a middle school teacher who would do wrestling on weekends,
mm-hmm.
who got fired from his teaching job because the wrestling began to interfere with his teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
So he got hired by the WWE, and his character was Matt Stryker, your teacher, and he'd like berate the audience about how dumb they are.
That's awesome.
And have to give them lessons. It was terrible.
Okay, never mind.
But they've done, like, they've had the professor, they've had, like, this was back in, like, the mid-90s, when wrestling was all more cartoony.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, you and I have talked about Max Landis's wrestling.
Wrestling isn't wrestling.
And Max Landis is a garbage human being. Let me just get that out there. But
I think it's a little more complex than that.
Yeah, he's a garbage human being, but it's a great video.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about, like, in that, like, The Undertaker mm-hmm. is a character.
It is a character that exists.
He's an undead zombie wizard Undertaker.
Yeah. Like,
with a cult following of hooded figures.
Yeah. And he never loses.
Yeah. Well, like, he does lose.
When does he lose? He's an undead wizard.
He's lost twice at WrestleMania to Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
And Roman Reigns, who is trash. But Brock Lesnar, legitimate UFC fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he is like one of the, it's funny because in a world of like, where like the whole, it's now more accessible than ever, like the backstage stuff and everything like that. The character of the undead wizard zombie Undertaker with the druid cult of hooded figures who has lightning powers and can appear and disappear on a whim is one of the most beloved characters.
No, that makes total sense to me. Like, because it's ridiculous, right? That being said, if I was an undead wizard, I would certainly not be a wrestler. That is not my first.
And the best part is, there's like a whole backstory of he came in with this manager, Paul Bearer.
Okay.
His name was
Paul Bearer. Yeah.
The Undertaker.
That is clever. Whoever wrote that is a genius.
Thank you, 1991.
But that was probably some kid right out of college, right?
Yeah.
And like he got out of like with like an English degree, and he was like, Jesus, like I really need like to put food on the table. And the WWE was hiring writers, or the WWF at the time.
There's a whole backstory of he has this half brother, Kane.
Yeah.
Kane can control fire. And when he first came in, he was completely covered with a mask and a full body suit because his body was terribly scarred in the fire at the house of the Undertaker and Kane's parents that they shared that Kane set fire to.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Bearer ended up being Kane's father. He fathered it with the Undertaker's mother. They feuded, then they became the Brothers of Destruction, which is a great tag team name.
Okay.
But like, there's this whole weird backstory of like, you have to realize this is just, the guy's name is Mark Calloway, and he's just like some natural redhead dude from Texas.
Wait, Kane is Mark Calloway?
No. The Undertaker
is Mark Calloway.
Kane is Glenn Jacobs, who is running for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
There's Glenn Jacobs?
Glenn Jacobs is the name of the guy who plays Kane, whose character is Kane, and he is running for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, as a libertarian.
Oh, that's much less fun. Okay, I see the mask.
Yep.
Is that supposed to be like burn marks, or is is that like the wrestling mask?
That's the wrestler. Well, he's gone through a bunch of mask iterations. That's his most recent one. This is bad radio. We're talking
he's
about
50 years old.
Yep.
Residence Knoxville, Tennessee, and he's running as a libertarian.
Libertarian for the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
The Brothers of Destruction.
Which is a great name. The Brothers of Destruction.
See, because here's the thing, though, right? Is I love this idea that like, it's really just, like, it's essentially like a comic book, but television disguised, but, like, disguised as, like, a TV, like, sports event. Like, I love that idea.
Well, the thing is,
but too, also, I hate the aesthetic.
The thing is, like, they never actually, like, portray themselves as, like, a legitimate athletic contest.
Yeah.
They don't.
It's a TV show about an athletic contest. It's not a televised athletic contest.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reality is, you, like, cut into, like, backstage promos of, like, oh, these two people are backstage conspiring against this person, but this person conveniently isn't watching the television. We know what's happening, but this person doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't play itself as a real, it plays itself as a television show. Like, you'd see on a television show, like, I don't know, on Survivor or whatever, like, you'd see two people off to the side making a pact to vote out this other
Survivor
person.
Is more real than, like, like, more real than wrestling.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Like, I think it plays itself off as, like, it's actually weirdly similar to, like, the Real Housewives shows.
Yeah.
Right? Where it is 100% staged. Like 100% staged.
Yeah.
And it kind of pretends to not be in order to, like, be more interesting.
I'm more talking about, like, these quote-unquote reality competitions where, like, we as the audience see two people make an alliance and pretend to be in alliance with a third person but are going to turn their back on them. Like, on a wrestling show, you see these two people are plotting behind this other person, but this other person is oblivious to it, even though it's playing out on the television.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't portray itself as a legitimate athletic competition or, like, this is legitimate sport. It used to,
It really is a soap opera.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It's a soap opera.
But it's like, so entertaining.
No, that's fat. No, I'm not knocking soap operas when I call it a soap opera. Like, yeah, no, I love absolutely. Soap operas. Like, I remember watching All My Children all the time when I was like homesick, like in elementary, middle school, right? But yeah, that's things. I hate the aesthetic though.
Yeah.
Like I love the idea of it, but I can't get behind like the burly dudes with greasy hair like in cages. Like I can't get behind this. Like it's too testosterone inducing for me.
Well, that's the thing. There are so many like independent promotions that they've started like hiring guys from because mm-hmm. these independent promotions now that like the internet has exploded and you can access these streams of like smaller mm-hmm. promotions. Like there's a PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yeah.
It's a huge promotion out in California, and people like Gillian Jacobs, whatever her name is, from Community, who plays Britta.
Yeah, yeah, Britta.
She's a huge fan of it. Like, she's ringside at those shows every show, mm-hmm. but like it's out in California out of a like an American Legion post.
Yeah.
Usually, you used to not be able to see that unless you were in California. Now, like, you can stream it on YouTube, or mm-hmm. they have their own like pay for stream. It's like you can access. So they've started hiring these guys, and a lot of these guys don't fit that like big burly oily dudes aesthetic. Like a lot of them are like 5'8", 200 pounds, mm-hmm. like just sort of like average looking with like a weird face and a beard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like it's the aesthetic is changing. Like the run of it's changing. It's not like Hulk Hogan like skin of a hot dog.
but even these smaller events though that mm-hmm. are not like really televised or weren't televised and now you can like stream them, right?
Yeah.
Like they follow the same model of like it's basically a soap opera.
Oh yeah, no, even more so.
Because that's awesome. I would love to be. That sounds super fun to me if I was in like an American Legion, right? And oh, I was watching a soap opera play out in front of me. That's performance art where they're just beating the crap out of each other.
Oh, there is some. So the best part is like, we've spent 45 minutes talking about wrestling.
I don't care.
But like the WWE has their own, like they used to call it like the developmental stage, NXT. It's more of, it's not even a developmental anymore. They develop their own people sometimes, but they're also bringing in the like talent from those smaller promotions and putting mm-hmm. them here as like get used to the style.
Yeah.
But it's in a small, like maybe 1,000 person seat arena in Florida on mm-hmm. the campus of, I forget what campus
whatever.
It is. But like, it's those guys and it's a lot more like intimate. It's a lot more of like the storytelling. It's not like these big burly like mm-hmm. you have my belt, I want it. Like there's actually intricate, interesting stories. Like there's they just played out this whole thing between two guys and it's still going on, but two guys came in, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
Gargano and Ciampa came in as a tag team called DIY.
Mm-hmm.
They were winning, they were doing great. They lost the tag belts, they lost their rematch. Tommaso Ciampa turns on Gargano, he's like, hold me back the whole time. I'm going to do my thing. It's Ciampa time.
But let's just pause right there, right? Because that is why this like medium is interesting, right?
Yeah.
Is because in any other athletic competition, you do not have someone turn on someone
on their teammate
live.
Yeah, like, that's the best part of it. But
that's awesome.
So like people cheer for Johnny Gargano. They chant Johnny mm-hmm. Wrestling because mm-hmm. that's his nickname. He's Johnny Wrestling.
That's hilarious. Like, but continue.
Johnny Football, Johnny Hockey, yeah, Johnny yeah. Wrestling. And Tommaso Ciampa is like, he's the good guy partner, but he's getting jealous. He's getting angry. He turns uh-huh. his back on him. He's like, it's my time. I'm the star. And then Gargano comes back. Ciampa goes out with an ACL injury. Uh-huh. Gargano's built up to this big main eventer. He's in a match for the world title. Who costs them the world title match but a returning Tommaso Ciampa? And they tell a story of it gets to this. Gargano loses a match, so he loses his job. He comes back mm-hmm. and challenges to an unsanctioned match, and they put on what's been rated a 5-star classic of storytelling and wrestling. And, like, it's hard to explain it because it's.
No, I get
it's
it. Different,
but, like.
Now, it's do they kiss at the end?
No.
That
they
is.
He actually smacks a crutch over his back and breaks it. Over his back, like crutches.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he'd been doing that.
No, I get it, yeah. Tommaso
Ciampa had been doing that to Johnny Gargano for months, like just hitting him with his crutches.
Uh-huh.
So Gargano takes revenge and hits him with crutches, and that's like the story. It's like comes full circle. Gargano gets his revenge. He uses the knee brace that Ciampa's been wearing and has him in a hold and makes him submit to make it even more painful. Like, it's the weird sort of, like, storytelling of this is coming to, like, completion of all of these sort of references to the past of this storyline are coming full steam ahead to this final match.
It's clever writing. They should still kiss at the end. That is my final. I'm just saying eventually it's going to get old, right? Like, eventually you're going to need new storylines.
Well, that's exactly it.
And you need them to kiss.
That's exactly it, though. You don't, though, because you go back to the 80s. Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage were in a tag team called the Mega Powers.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan becomes the big star, and everybody's chanting for Hulk. Macho Man Randy Savage has his wife, Miss Elizabeth. Hulk Hogan's getting a little too close to Miss Elizabeth. Randy Savage goes ballistic and beats the ever-loving crap out of him. And they blow it off in a major main event title match at WrestleMania where Hulk Hogan overcomes that dastardly Randy Savage and wins back the title. It's the same story that's been happening for 30 years. You don't need to redo it. That's the best thing. Wrestling, like, unlike sports or anything, it never ends. There's no off season. There's no stop to it. It just continues forever.
Okay. I agree, and I love it. But I'm gonna say this, and I don't want to seem like a tough student when I say this. But I'm just saying that I think it'd be an interesting change of pace if you had a tag team of two partners who were both, like, kind of at odds with one another, but were also both coming to terms with the fact that they were gay for one another.
Well,
like, I'm not saying, like, that needs to be every story. I'm just saying, like, one story would be kind of interesting.
Well, back in the more crude era of 2003, the WWE had a tag team called Billy and Chuck. Billy and Chuck were these hard body karate guys.
Of course.
Dyed spiky blonde hair, really close, like homoerotic close.
Great. Like Top Gun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were set to wed on an episode of SmackDown. and midway through, before they're about to exchange vows, they're like, we can't go through with this. We're not gay.
What?
Yeah. It was all used as a storyline to just advance them. They're like, we're not gay. We're just good friends. You gotta watch the Billy and Chuck wedding.
Hold on. I guess it's 2003, right? So, like, I can't blame them too much.
2002, 2003.
I'm just saying,
it was right around the time Massachusetts had, like, had legalized same-sex marriage. So it was, like, a hot button.
Was it in Massachusetts? Was SmackDown in Massachusetts that year?
It might have been.
It had to be.
It might have been. Actually, I think it was, I don't think it was a wedding. I think it was, like, a civil union thing, so, but still. I mean, we've been going on with this forever.
Here's the volleyball song from Top Gun.